Hello, everybody. Welcome to the MTG Place podcast. I'm your host, Corey, and joined with me always is James. How's it going, James?
Hello, everybody. I'm good over here.
We're going to talk about a couple sponsors real quick. We got Zencastr. It is an all-in-one podcast production suite that gives you studio-quality audio and video without needing all the technical know-how. Records each guest locally, then uploads the crystal-clear audio and video right into the suite so you have high-quality raw materials to work with. And if you want to sign up and get 30% off your first month of Zencastr Premium, use offer code zen.ai/the MTG Place. Also, we have a TCG Player affiliate link you can use. So, you know, we know you're going to buy some of these cards anyway. Might as well use that when you check it out. There's a link on our website, mtgplace.net. You can also find all these other links there. So if you can only remember one place to go, go to mtgplace.net. And the last place... last way you can support us is by the Patreon. Give us a small monthly subscription, basically, of whatever amount you want. Cancel anytime, and you get some awesome perks with that.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about the Commander cards from Dominaria United. We're going to kind of go in a weird order. We're going to kind of go by set number, with skipping Orca and doing Orca at the end. So...
For whatever reason.
Yeah, for whatever reason, my computer decided to put that at the end, so whatever. So we're going to do that. So the first card up here is Diada, Binder of Wills, which is one red, white, black, so one in Mardu, for a 5 loyalty legendary planeswalker, Diada, plus 2, up to 1 target creature, gains Vigilance, Lifelink, and Indestructible until your next turn. Minus 3. Reveal the top 4 cards of your library. Put any number of legendary cards from among them into your hand and the rest into your graveyard. Create a treasure token for each card put into your graveyard this way. Minus 11. Gain control of all non-land permanents until end of turn. Untap them. They gain haste until end of turn. Diada can be your commander.
Awesome. Sweet. Okay.
What do you think of this? First thoughts?
Not bad. CMC or mana cost for what it does, honestly, and it comes in with 5 loyalty counter. I guess that offsets the high alt, but yeah.
Yeah. This seems like a legendary creature type matters.
Yeah,
because plus buffs legendaries and the minus searches for legendaries at the top. But the minus does get legendary cards, so your legendary lands you can hit with that. You can also hit if you have a legendary sorcery or something. There's a couple in Magic that are like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. There's some tribal ones, I think. They're very specific, but yeah.
And the nice thing about the minus is if you miss, you get treasure tokens for each one that goes to the graveyard.
Treasure tokens are great, obviously.
So, worst case, you hit this, you get 4 mana. So.
Yeah.
Best case, you draw 4 cards.
Which, not bad.
Most times, it's going to be somewhere a mix in between, which is pretty good. So, this is your commander. You could just minus it right away to ramp, basically, and then just play it again.
Yep.
So.
Not bad at all. Could be a fun deck.
Could be.
Fun Mardu deck. Yep. All right. Next we got Jared Carthalion. He is full Wooburg. So 5 color deck players. This is for you. He is a legendary planeswalker named Jared. He comes into play with 5 loyalty counters. His effects are... plus 1, create a 3/3 Kavu creature token with trample that's all colors. Minus 3, choose up to 2 target creatures for each of them. Put a number of +1/+1 counters it equal to the number of colors it is. Oh, I see. Put a number of +1/+1 counters on it. That's what I missed. Equal to the number of colors it is. I was like, that didn't quite make sense. -6, so the ultimate, is return target multicolored card from your graveyard to your hand. If that card was all colors, draw a card and create 2 treasure tokens. Jared can also be your commander.
Yeah, so the +1, you make a copy of its all colors with trample. The -3, you put, if you have an all-color creature, 5/1/1 counters on 2 things. If it's 2 colors, 2/1/1 counters, so equal how many colors it is. And the -6 is you get any multicolored card back, but if it happens to be all colors, you'll draw a card and create 2 treasure tokens. Now, for all-color cards, there's only a handful in Magic that are, like, good that you want to play in Commander. There's probably only, like, 20-something that are, like, good ones.
Like busted ones.
Yeah, so I don't know if you would play... You'd probably just play the multicolored version. I don't know if you would play all 5 colors. You'd obviously put those ones in there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
This is, I think, the head commander, or if not, it's in the deck. It's called Painbow. It's the name of the deck. It's Painbow instead of Rainbow.
That is incredible. I love it so much. That's good. So yeah, apparently Kavus are making a comeback in this set, because there was mention of Kavus in the regular Dominaria set, and now we have it here too.
Yeah, so. Kavus, and then there's Phyrexians, and
maybe
Phyrexians for the next couple sets. But yeah, so this seems like a cool 5-color card. I mean, even if you don't play as a commander, it's good in a 5-color deck.
It definitely does not need to be a commander. I think this is just fine as a one of.
Seems good.
For sure.
All right, next up is Jensen, Parthenian Druid Exile. It's 1W for a 2/2 legendary creature human druid. Whenever you cast a multicolored spell, scry 1. If that spell was all colors, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying and vigilance, and it has pay 5, tap it, add Wooburg.
Damn.
So you can filter your lands. You scry 1 anytime you cast a multicolored spell, so you're going to probably just run this in the main deck. The reason, again, like I said, is if you play this as your commander, there's not a ton of creatures that are all colors, so you're not going to get that 4/4 angel a ton. Maybe, like, if you draw 20.
You might a couple times, maybe. Might get it, but yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's better off playing it in the 99 as like a two cost mana filter that also scries you when you play multicolored spells. That's pretty good just on its own.
Right. I mean, it's a cool Selesnya card for sure. Well, obviously it's meant for more than just those 2 colors, but
yeah. And if you do play as a commander, you do get all 5 colors because the it adds 5 mana. Yep. So it's colored in these 5 colors.
Yeah, it's going to be all 5 for Commander. Yeah, it's pretty cool, though. Next up, we have Shanid Sleeper Scourge. It is 1 and red, white, black, or Mardu, for a 2/4 legendary creature that's a human knight. He has Menace. Other legendary creatures you control also have Menace. Whenever you play a legendary land or cast a legendary spell, you draw a card and you lose 1 life.
So this is, again, legendary creatures matter. You could also play Menace Tribal with this, I guess, but you'd have to have you'd just give your legendary creatures Menace. When you play a legendary land or cast a spell, you draw a card and lose a life is sweet.
That's really good, yeah. That's got black written all over it.
Yeah, so another good Mardu legendary matters card.
Yeah, and I mean, Menace is a good keyword, honestly, like especially in Commander, so...
Yeah, you probably get your dudes through.
Yeah, you're gonna deal damage. I mean, if it's your whole board getting like say you're running like a Legends deck or something like that, if your whole board is getting Menace, it's basically saying you have trample or unblockable. Even it's like they're not gonna be able to deal with all.
And if you are playing like all Legends deck, you're probably playing like the 1-mana 1/1 that's a legendary creature, just so you
have
like a Menace off the bat. Like,
which that's they're just not gonna be able to block. Yeah. This is like full aggro, which is pretty cool.
Next up, we got Zerium, the Golden Wind. It's 3 and a white for a 3/4 legendary creature griffin with flying. Whenever a griffin you control deals combat damage to a player, trade a 2/2 white griffin creature token with flying. So I don't know how many griffins there are in Magic, but griffin tribal.
There's some older ones. I know, like, around the 7th edition block, there were definitely a couple. They weren't really good, though. I mean, they were like, you know, it was 7th edition. Nothing was really good in that set.
Yeah, I mean, so if you played it as a commander, it'd be mono-white griffin tribal. It's probably better just in, like, a tokens deck where you swing and make tokens when this hits.
Yeah, which that's pretty sweet for sure. Not too expensive, you know, a pretty decent mana cost for what it does. Like,
yeah, 4 mana, 3/4 flying, mixed tokens. It's not a bad card.
It's pretty decent, in my opinion. Be interesting to see what and all can be done with this for sure. Next up, we have Moira, Urborg Haunt. It is 2 and a black for a 3/2 legendary creature spirit wizard who has menace. Whenever Moira Urborg Haunt deals combat damage to a player, return to the battlefield target creature card in your graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn.
So this is like Aristocrat, dies, triggers deck. You're going to sack off stuff, swing with this, get it back,
repeat. Yep. Very much a black card.
Yeah, I think everyone pretty much knows what Aristocrats is. It's just going to be doing that.
Yeah. And the menace is nice, too.
Yep. Helps it get pretty much
guaranteed damage, especially early in the game. So.
Next up, we got mana cannons. 2 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever you cast a multicolored spell, mana cannons deals X damage to any target where X is the number of colors that spell is.
Ooh.
So, worst case scenario, this is deal 2 damage if you play a 2-colored spell or 2-colored spell.
That's like basically Gutter Snipe.
Yeah, it's but you do bad. Have to have a lot of multicolored cards to use this.
Yeah.
It's good in the multicolored deck, for sure.
Yeah, even if you have like 2 or 3 colors, like that can definitely work.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. You don't have to have all 5. I mean, all 5 obviously is best case scenario, but...
I feel like
even like a 3, like a mid-range, like 3-color would be pretty good.
Yeah, but you do want to run a handful of multicolored cards in those 3 colors before you play this. Like, you probably won't
have
like at least 20, probably, that you actually will hit.
If you want to build your deck around it, yeah, you probably want at least a quarter of the deck to interact with it. Otherwise, you know, you might have a chance where you just don't hit them and you're kind of cry.
Yeah, it's like if you just play monocolored spells, it's not going to do anything. So
yeah, it's kind of sad then. Interesting though. Definitely love to see what can be done with this.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have the Reaver Cleaver. It is 2 and a red for a legendary artifact. It's an equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has trample, and whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player or planeswalker, create that many treasure tokens, and equip cost is 3.
Yeah, so this is good if you can get around the equip cost. Like, if you play it in the equip 0 equipment deck,
Stoneboard,
or equip 1 equipment deck. Yeah, but I don't think it's good otherwise, because having to pay 3 for this seems really slow.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, 6 mana to get 1/1 trample and make, like, even if it's on a 5/5/5 treasure tokens, is like, okay, I didn't even get all 6 of my mana back.
Right.
So.
Yeah. That's like the same cost as a sword, and the swords do way more than this.
Right. So that's a medium card. Like, it can be busted in the right deck, but otherwise I think it's like, you're not going to play it.
Yep, for sure. Gotta find a way to cheat it in.
Next up, we got a new Bladewing. Bladewing, the Deathless Tyrant. 5 black-red for a 6/6 legendary creature dragon skeleton with flying and haste. Whenever Bladewing deals combat damage to a player or planeswalker, for each creature card in your graveyard, create a 2/2 black zombie knight creature token with menace.
Ooh.
So in my opinion, the old Bladewing is better because it brings a creature back. But this is, if you're playing creatures in your graveyard deck, it's going to give you a shit ton of 2/2s with menace.
It's not bad. Kind of just flood your board with tokens, which Yeah, there's definitely plenty of black decks that deal with, you know, fodder. You know, they can basically be used to sack off for all sorts of things. So, yeah, this could be an engine for that if you're looking for something like that.
I kind of like it in the Ur-Dragon deck. Like, if someone board wipes you or something, then you draw this. It's like six mana, make a bunch of 2/2s back.
Yeah, exactly. So. You get your board back real fast.
Yeah.
Which is what you want in a deck like that. Because, yeah, when you're playing, like, dragons and they have a board wipe, you're kind of sunk.
Right.
Because that's so all about more presence.
It's good in that scenario, but if you have nothing in your graveyard, then it's like, okay, I swing for six. Ooh. Right, like, yeah. It's still a big hit, but I could have done better things with my six mana.
Yeah, six mana is a lot, and you really want it to be good. So, all right, let's see. Next up, come on, if it'll load, we have Kadrick Soulkindler. He's 2 red-white for a 4/3 legendary creature that's a dwarf wizard. The legend rule doesn't apply to tokens you control. Whenever another non-token legendary permanent enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay a colorless. If you do, create a token that's a copy of it. That token gains haste. Sacrifice it at the beginning of your next end step. So you're literally just duplicating your shit.
Yeah, this seems really good with...
busted.
Some things, like, you could be like, oh, I'm gonna copy my Elish Norn, all your shit's gonna die, and then I'm gonna attack you.
I'm gonna attack you for like 10 a creature. God, that would be insane. Yeah, there's a lot of nutty stuff you can do with this guy. Like, this guy is
good copying with this card.
Yeah, I mean, just you know, copy your legendary artifacts that make you win the game. That's great.
Oh yeah, it does say permanent. You can copy your legendary lands too.
Yeah,
play Cradle, get a copy of Cradle for
Oh my god, you have a Boros.
You need to be playing this in the 99 to do that though, because if you play this as a commander, you're a Boros deck.
Yeah. But yeah, this card this card's gonna be crazy for sure.
I can see people playing this and abusing it.
Oh yeah, it's gonna get abused hard.
Next up, we got Falaji Wayfarer, 2 and a green for a 2/4 human scout that is all color, or its ability is all colors. This ability doesn't affect its color identity. So it could be in any deck whose commander's color identity is green, but technically is all colors. So it counts for, like, if you cast an all color spell, but you only have to pay 3 mana, so it's good in that deck. And then multicolored spells you cast have Convoke, so your creatures can tap. To cast those spells, each creature you tap while casting a multicolored spell pays for 1 or 1 mana of a color that creature is. So that seems really good in an all-color deck. That's
very good, and especially in a token deck, this is very, very, very good.
Yeah, you can just play this in green tokens and all your multicolored spells.
Convoke can be very busted.
Yeah. Because you can play this in mono green, so.
Easily, yeah. This would be great in mono green, honestly. You don't even really need the whole color identity thing.
Well, you need to have multicolored spells to have Convoke, though.
Okay.
So you could play as a mono green, but you're probably not. You're gonna play it at least 2 colors.
Right. Yeah, you need that ability to second. That's the whole point of playing it, really. So.
Right.
Yeah.
But a 2/4 for 3 is not bad. It's good with that card that makes you a 4/4 because it's all colors. Same with Dehada, it's all colors. So you can give it 5/1 counters.
But yeah, you'll definitely... you want at least 2 colors for that because, yeah, that bottom ability is really nice. That's pretty awesome. Next up, we have Iridian Maelstrom. Yeah, Iridian Maelstrom. It is Wooburg, all 5 colors. Sorcery. Destroy each creature that isn't all colors.
So this is going to blow up almost everything on the board all the time.
That's basically always a board wipe right
Unless
there.
You're playing the all-color deck, then your stuff ain't going to die.
Yeah. That's a very interesting...
The downside is if you're playing against like an Ur-Dragon or Jota or something, it's not going to kill that.
Yeah, but then you're going to cry a little bit.
But if you're playing that, if you're playing this card, you probably have a bunch of all color creatures.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting requirement for sure.
Yeah, I feel like it's good. I don't know how good it is right now because, like I said, I think there's only like 25 to 30 all color creatures that are like, or there's like 20 that are good, maybe 17 that are good. So, like,
yeah,
they might need to make more support for this for it to be really good.
I'm sure there's gonna be more coming after this for sure.
Yeah, but it's definitely gonna at least be medium because, like, you could just play it. Well, so obviously your commander would be all colors and you kill everything but your commander, so.
Right, which that's sick. Be good in your deck, your dragon deck.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we got Primeval Spawn. It is 5 and Wooburg, so 10 mana. Oh
my gosh.
For a 10/10 avatar. If Primeval Spawn would enter the battlefield and it wasn't cast or no mana was spent to cast it, exile it instead. So you have to basically pay the mana or pay some mana for it. Yeah. Vigilance Trample Lifelink. So 10 times Vigilance Trample Lifelink. And when it leaves the battlefield, exile the top 10 cards of your library. You may cast any number of spells with total mana value 10 or less from among them without paying their mana cost.
Wow. This is quite the little bomb, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is good in like a Jota deck because you pay 5, get a 10/10, and then when it dies, you get 10 mana worth of stuff.
Basically a 10 mana Genesis Wave.
Yeah, you just have to pay at least 1 mana for this. So like, if you use like Fist of Suns or Jota, then pay 5 instead, that still works. You just can't pay no mana, and you can't cheat it with like Piper or something.
Yeah, or like Omniscience or whatever, yeah.
Well, that still casts it. So I think Omniscience still works.
Okay. Yeah.
I'd have to look at a rules for that because it just says you can cast spells from your hand without paying your mana cost. I don't know.
Yeah, so. If it says that, then yeah, I guess it would work.
Depends on the wording, I think.
Yeah.
That's a judge.
But goal. Yeah, this is definitely quite the little bomb. in the right kind
10,
of...
10 Vigilance Trample Lifelink for 10. That gives you 10 more things if they kill it.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Seems pretty good. It's a lot baked into one card.
I hate to have to pay all 10 mana for that, but...
I mean, if you have a high ramp deck, it's possible for sure. You're going to cry if it gets countered or something like that, but...
Yeah.
Do I guess?
Yeah, if it gets countered, you're just like, oh...
Well, there goes all my mana. Yeah. Pass.
Yeah, there goes my turn. I just got time locked. Okay.
but yeah, definitely powerful in the right scenario for sure. Next up, we have Two-Headed Hellkite. It is 1 and Wooburg, so 6 altogether, for a 5/5 dragon creature that has flying, menace, and haste. Whenever Two-Headed Hellkite attacks, draw 2 cards.
So I think this dragon's sweet.
That's pretty sick for the cost of it. That's not bad.
Like in the Ur-Dragon deck, this is going to cost 5 mana only. So 1 of each color, and you're going to get flying, menace, haste, and when an attack, draw 2 cards. So it's basically 5 mana, swing for 5, hit them for 5, get 2 cards. That's pretty sweet.
That's insane value.
Yeah.
This even at full price at 6, it's still pretty crazy value. Like, this is a very crazy static card.
God forbid you get extra combats or something. Like you have the dethrone dragon out or something and lets you untap and attack again. Like, okay, I'm going to draw 4 cards.
Like, what is that? Merciless Anthem or the one where you have an additional attack phase? Yeah, that's
the Scourge of the Throne.
Yes, I'd like to draw 4 cards.
Yeah, or there's the Scourge of the Throne dragon. Like, if you attack the person with highest life.
Yeah, this is good.
So, this seems like a really cool dragon. All right, next up we got Unite the Coalition. It is 2 and Wooburg for an instant. Choose 5. You may choose the same mode more than once. Target permanent phases out. Target player draws a card. Exile target player's graveyard. Unite the Coalition deals 2 damage to any target. Destroy target artifact and enchantment. What do you think of that?
That is a lot of actions, but for what it costs, it seems a little expensive.
Yeah, I mean, 7 mana draw 5 is pretty good. 7 mana deal 10 is okay. Like, it is flexible, which is nice.
Yeah, the flexibility is definitely nice, but, like, 7 mana to have 5 permanents phase out, like, you can just play Teferi's Protection for 3.
Right, yeah.
It's just way better.
And it also you could, or you could just play a board wipe, you know, or like a
extra Wrath of God for 4, Damnation for 4.
I don't think it's that bad if you're playing like a 5 color deck and have like Fist of Suns or something, you could play this for 5.
Right.
Instead of 7. That's not that bad, but
I mean, the flexibility is nice. I think that's kind of what you're paying for here. It is a cool card, like a cool concept, but yeah, it's definitely got a high price take on it, though. Next up, we have Varrak, Warped Senior. It is 1 white-black for a 2/2 legendary vampire creature with flying, death touch, and lifelink. It also has whenever you activate an ability that isn't a mana ability, if life was paid to activate it, you may pay that much life again. If you do, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Yeah, so this is Vampire Nighthawk, but with fetch lands, this is super good because you can pay 2 life, get 2 lands, and you're ramping super fast. It's also that good with worse. With like Underworld Connections, where like you give your land tap, pay a life, draw a card, you know, pay 2 life, draw 2 cards, or anything where you have to pay mana and life. You then can just pay the life twice and the mana once and get the effect twice. Right. But other than those scenarios, it's not that great. So I feel like you're more like than likely going to play this in just a black-white shell with like using fetch lands to ramp like crazy.
Yep.
Like you could play like black-white land stack or something.
Right, right. I mean, something like with like greed, I think is what it is, where you pay 2 life and pay 2 black or a black and draw a card and then you draw another card. Like
that's not bad.
But yeah, it's definitely it needs to be in the right scenario. Yeah, fetch lands is busted though.
Very busted with fetch lands.
So in the right scenario, this can be very good.
Next up, we got Gerard's Hourglass Pendant, cost 1 legendary artifact with flash. If a player would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead, so can't take extra turns. And pay 4, tap, exile it, return to the battlefield, tap all artifact, creature, enchantment, and land cards in your graveyard that were put there from the battlefield this turn. It's kind of a protection against like a board wipe. Obviously, itself can't get blown up in that.
Yeah.
And also, if you have someone that plays like Narset, infinite turns.
Very interesting infinite turns hate here.
Yeah.
I can't say I was expecting to see this in a card, but okay.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
But yeah, the tap ability though, that's nice. So it's got kind of self protection, it looks like. So if they're gonna blow up your crap, then it seems pretty decent for 4. What do you think about that cost?
Yeah, I mean, it does cost 4, but I mean, like, it's not that bad if you're saving all your stuff.
Yeah, if you have a really good board, it's probably worth it. So, obviously, in the right scenario.
Like, you could, like, because you could play this, you know, turn whatever 3, and then turn 5, or, well, 9, I guess, whatever. Some turn, blow up the board, and then return all your creatures.
Yeah, that seems nice. Alrighty, next up we have the Obsidian Obelisk. It is 2 for an artifact. Obsidian Obelisk enters the battlefield tapped. Tap, add a waste, or tap, add 1 mana of any color. Spend this mana only to cast a multicolored spell.
So in a multicolored deck, this is okay. I don't like that it comes in tapped.
Yeah, it's slow.
So it's kind of slow. I still think I'd play Lantern over this. That's my opinion.
Right. And the thing about Lantern, too, is it itself taps for any color, too.
Right, and makes your lands tap for any color.
Yeah, which, that's nice. It does cost 1 more, though.
Yep.
So if you want 2 mana rock. But it does not come into play tap, at least that I remember. So.
Yeah, it does not.
Yeah. So, it's mid at best, probably.
Next up, we got the Purgering Dynamo. 3 for a 1/5 legendary artifact creature construct with haste. Pay one or one and tap it. Copy target activated or triggered ability you control from another legendary source that's not a commander. You may choose new targets for the copy. So you can
legendary stuff matters again.
Yeah, and you can copy all your legendary abilities. This is a commander. You have artifact tribal, which would be kind of crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Definitely seems good in an artifact deck, especially if you have some kinds of... I can't think of the top of my head, like some of the legendary artifacts, but I know there's plenty of them out there. And this would probably go well with that. And you can use it right away, too, which is pretty sick.
Yep.
Alrighty. Next up, we have Tiller Engine. It costs 2 for a 1/3 artifact creature. That's a construct. Whenever a land enters the battlefield tapped under your control, choose one. Untap that land, or tap target non-land permanent and opponent controls.
So this is good with, like, Terraforming Expanse and stuff.
Yeah. The crappy fetch lands that come into play tapped.
Yeah, it's also good with anything that Amulet of Vigor, I think it's Amulet of Vigor, comes in.
Yeah.
Untaps all your stuff. So, like, all those bounce lands will be untapped.
Yeah, that's really nice for the bounce lands, especially, because they're really slow otherwise, which...
If you have some instant speed land fetch, you could use this to tap down their attackers.
Yeah, which there's definitely plenty of them out there that do that. So, I can and just regular just fetch like Explosive Vegetation, that's 2 right there, or just right. Rampant Growth, that's 1. And there's plenty of other ones that do the same thing. So, yeah, you can just ramp a bunch and then tap down other crap. Or untap all your stuff and then play stuff, you know, that too, either way.
It could be pretty good.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Historian's Boon. It's 3 and a white for an enchantment. Whenever Historian's Boon or another non-tokened enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, create a 1/1 white soldier creature token. When the final chapter ability of a saga you control triggers, create a 4/4 white angel creature token with flying and vigilance.
So in a Saga's deck, this can be pretty nice.
Yeah, I think it's okay in just an enchantments deck, too.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But it's better in the Saga's deck.
Yeah. I mean, because it's just 1/1/1, yeah. So that's fine. I mean, especially if you're playing like an enchantment-heavy deck, that could definitely work. Especially if it's something like White Weenie, because that's usually something that uses enchantments anyway. So... it works out. But yeah, sagas are good because, yeah, angels are nice. For sure. Especially for 3. Like, that's not a bad cost.
4. White and 3.
Or, oh, sorry. White. Okay, so it's about even then. But yeah. In the right deck, it could be decent. Next up, we have... Robaran Mercenaries. It is 3 and a white for a 3/4 human mercenary creature with vigilance. Robaran Mercenaries has all activated abilities of all legendary creatures you control.
So again, legendary tribal, copy all of your activated abilities. Pretty good. Yep. With Kiki Jiki.
Yeah, that seems busted. Good way to break the game. Definitely seems good if you're trying to find another fork for a combo or something. This might work for that, especially. So this definitely can work in many different areas, for sure.
Next up, we got Emperor Mihail II. It is 1 blue-blue for a 3/3 legendary creature Merfolk. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. You may cast Merfolk spells from the top of your library, and whenever you cast a Merfolk spell, you may pay 1. If you do, make a 1/1 blue Merfolk creature token. So this is super good for Merfolk tribal. The professor probably loves this card.
Yeah. That's a lot of stuff packed into one card. for especially for, because like I'm trying to think, like merfolk tend to like to kind of be aggro and whatnot, so this, yeah, because this floods the board with dudes, and then yeah, you, and then you basically can cast the top card of your library as if it's in your hand, basically.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty sick. Yeah, this, yeah, this a very good value card and does a lot. So, merfolk tribal people out there, this is for you.
Yep. Can't say you didn't get a merfolk this set.
You don't see him very often, so yeah. All right, next up we have Activated Sleeper. It is 2 and a black for a 0/0 Phyrexian Shapeshifter creature with flash. You may have Activated Sleeper enter the battlefield as a copy of any creature card in a graveyard that was put there from the battlefield this turn, except it's a Phyrexian in addition to its other types.
So copy something that dies. Someone plays a board wipe, you can copy the best thing that was on the board.
Right. It's kind of like a clone, but with more like prerequisites that you need.
Yeah, but then it's a 3-mana clone, so yeah, instant speed.
Which isn't bad, for sure.
Next up we got Rosnak, whatever the heck his name is, Heir of Roga. 1 red for a 0/1 legendary creature, Kobold Warrior, so Kobold Commander. Battle Cry, whenever this creature attacks, each other attacking creature gets +1/+1 on the turn. And it has Heroic, whenever he casts a spell that targets him, create a 0/1 red Kobold creature token named Kobolds of Kirkkeep. So you can make more Kobolds of Kirkkeep tokens, just like the land.
So how many, like, Kobolds are there in Magic?
There's a handful, and it was a deck. I don't know the actual number off the top of my head.
Because this is for that, for sure. This is pretty... first of all, it is very cheap. It costs 1. That's
pretty. And then the other one that they just made in Commander Legends costs 0.
Damn, nice. So, that's
pretty cool. 0/1 with like a bunch of keywords, so you just buff it. Like. So, it's nice because when he attacks, he's going to buff all of those tokens to 1/1s.
Right. Like, this is almost like the Kobold Rabble Master, honestly. It's close in power level, in a way.
Yeah, you're just going to buff it. I think you go super aggro, play, like, Brute Force and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So as long as you get spells in your hand, you're going to just pop off.
Yeah, just pump spells like crazy. Snowball like
crazy. So, yeah, this is a cool card. Next up, we have Baru Wormspeaker. It is 2 green/green for a 3/3 legendary human druid creature. Worms you control get +2/+2 and have trample. And then if you pay 7 and a green and tap it, create a 4/4 green worm creature token. This ability costs X less to activate, where X is the greatest power among worms you control. So this is pretty nice.
Now everyone's going to want to build Worm Tribal. I thought I was the only one that wanted to build that deck. Dang it. it is really good, though. The issue is you might put this in the 99 in like the Worm deck because...
Yeah. There's probably a better...
There's a lot of multicolored worms, like the Celestia Worm and the 3-color worm from Ixalan or whatever.
You're going to want other colors, for sure.
If you think of the 6... mana worm that's like 6/6/6 or whatever it is, that's basic, and that becomes an 8/8, and you can pay 1, tap, create a 4/4, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's sick. And then it's Value City, and then you're just tapping shit on left and right and making a bunch of dudes.
Yep.
So yeah, this can, in the right deck, this kind of like how the last card was, this can snowball pretty quick. And they all have trample, so it makes them hard to deal with, which is also pretty good.
Next up, we got Green Sleeves, the Morrow Sorcerer. It's 3 green/green for a star, legendary creature elemental. Protects you from Planeswalker and from Lizards. Its power and toughness are equal to number of lands you control, and one of our lands, just the battlefield you control, create a 3/3 green badger creature token. So this is like old Morrow, literally the same mana cost, except for you gain pro Planeswalkers and Wizards, and landfall make a 3/3. So we're talking about power creep.
Yeah. So he can't get like bolted from Chandra or something, which is nice.
Yep.
Or one of the other ones.
Yeah, he's probably going to be a 5/5. I mean, unless you play him on turn 3 and like.
Right. Yeah, this is a pretty decent card for sure. The protection is nice. I don't know about the wizard's word. That's interesting, but sure.
Yeah,
Planeswalkers is definitely sick, though.
I don't know what wizard it needs protection from, but Planeswalkers is cool.
I think it's a little unnecessary, but sure.
Yeah. I mean, you're gonna put this in every landfall deck, right? Just like make a 3/3. It's just as good.
You're gonna have 3/3s left and right.
Yeah, it's almost as good as the Baeloth that makes 4/4s. So
yeah. It's very, yeah, and it costs less too, so
right,
and it has more protection than it, so definitely nice. So yeah, this can be a very sick card, very green.
That's why he's got green sleeves.
Exactly.
Now you got to make this your commander and put and sleeve the deck in green sleeves.
I mean, what green player doesn't sleeve their deck in green sleeves? let's see. Next up, we have the Mana Rig. It is 3 for a legendary artifact. Whenever you cast a multicolored spell, create a tapped Power Stone token. So if you don't know what that is, it's basically just an artifact with tap at a waste that can't be used to cast a non-artifact spell. And then its ability is XXX tap. So you have to pay X 3 times. Look at the top X cards of your library. Put up to 2 of them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So that's very expensive.
Yeah, so it's pay 3, draw 1 card. Pay 6, draw 2. Pay 9.
To draw 3.
To pick 2 of the best 3.
Yeah, basically.
I don't know. I think if you want the top part, you're going to play this. Otherwise, you're not going to. Because the bottom part, you're not going to use unless like you're in dire straits and have nothing in your hand.
Yeah, you have like you must be top decking if you're doing something like this.
I mean, the Power Stones do help pay for this. So like if you're playing a lot of multicolored spells, you can just take your Power Stones for this effect. But
yeah, the top part for sure is nice. Definitely. But yeah, you're probably going to have, there's better spells that draw you cards. You don't need to use that ability for this, honestly.
I mean, if you think of it this way, so say you play this in a multicolored deck and you have no other artifacts. So then your Power Stones are only going to be used for this. So right. Then you got to play 3 multicolored spells to draw a card. Like, that's not that bad.
That's okay.
I guess. It's just like, you're going to draw a card every turn. I don't know. It's okay.
Yeah. I still say it's better just in an artifact deck just to generate mana. That just seems much better.
Next up, we got Aisha Tanaka Armor. 3 white blue for a 2/4 legendary creature human artificer. When it attacks, look at the top 4 cards of your library. You may put any number of artifact cards with mana value less than or equal to Aisha's power from among them onto the battlefield tapped. Put the rest of the bottom of your library in a random order. I guess she can't be blocked as long as defending player controls 3 or more artifacts. So this is like Winota, but you have to attack with her and for artifacts.
Right, yeah.
And it's probably, what, 25% of the time one of your opponents is going to have 3 artifacts, so then you can just swing in and...
Well, especially in Commander.
4 cards at the top of your deck that cost 2 of us.
Let's think of like what we play in Commander. We play Sol Ring, we play Signet, and we play some other Mana Rock. 3 right there. Boom. You know?
Yeah, but they'd have to have them all out.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you're playing against an artifact deck, then you're just always going to be unblocked.
Oh, yeah, then you always are fine. But it's definitely feasible to have 3 on the board for like literally any deck. So it's definitely it might not always happen, but it's definitely a possibility against basically any commander deck.
Yeah, I think this will be a really powerful commander because, like, you could basically, if you hit 4 artifacts that it costs 2 or less, you can put them all into play tapped. So
yeah, that's really nice, for sure.
And ramp fast.
All right. Next up, we have the Ever-Changing Dane. It is white, blue, black for a 3/3 Shapeshifter legendary creature. You can pay one, sacrifice another creature. The ever-changing Dane becomes a copy of the sacrificed creature, except it has this ability. So you're gonna... Oh, I guess you can't play this on Kakusho since it's white and blue, but this would definitely work with that, right?
Well, if this is a commander, you could.
Well, yeah, if you had Kakusho in that deck.
Yeah. But I don't know, so Sack Outlet, you can keep making this a copy of whatever you're sacking, so if you have a lot of dies triggers, so it seems like die triggers tribal or aristocrat type deck.
Right.
You don't really see Esper aristocrats though, so it's kind of an interesting color combo. I mean, black's always in there, but a lot of times you see red.
This is black's bread and butter right here, so that's not surprising at all.
But the access to blue and white seems kind of cool.
Blue and white's interesting.
Black white, you see aristocrat-y, black red, not blue that as often.
Right.
So it'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Next up, we got Hazion, the Shaper of Sand. Is red, green, white for a 3/3 legendary creature human warrior with desert walk. So if your opponent controls a desert, can't be blocked. you may play desert lands from your graveyard, and when a desert enters the battlefield in your control, create 2/1/1 green and white sand warrior creature tokens. So you want to play deserts, you want your opponents to have deserts. I haven't seen a desert land in a while, I think.
There's like one, isn't there?
No, there's a whole series of them in
Amonkhet
in the Hour of Devastation.
There's
They made a couple recently in one of the commander sets, but so there's probably like 10 to 12 in existence, something like that.
Interesting. Okay,
it's kind of like the gates where like there's only a handful, like it's playable, but your opponent's probably ain't gonna play them. Like it's more likely you're gonna play them and be cycling them from the graveyard.
I almost never see them played against me, like ever. So, interesting card though.
It's a cool deck idea if you want to play deserts just for a reason.
If we see more support for it, sure. But I don't know how much is out there.
If you have some way to gift desert lands to your opponent and make this unblockable.
Too bad. I don't think this isn't Zedru colors, so I could do it that way. But I think that's red and blue, if I remember right. But yeah, cool card, though. Let's see. Next up is Jadeet, Ojanin Mercenary. It is one white blue for a 3/3 legendary cat mercenary creature. Whenever Jadeet, Ojanin Mercenary, or another legendary creature enters the battlefield under your control, you may pay a green. If you do, create a 2/2 green cat warrior creature token with forest walk.
That's awesome.
That is really sick.
So that's kind of like you enter the battlefield, you pay a green, and you make like a old school Miri.
Yeah.
I think Miri costs 3 normally, but
Miri was 3.
Like 1 mana Miri. I don't know if Miri was a 2/2 or a 3/3, but either way, 2/2 forest walk. So you could play it seems cool to do like a old school throwback tribal deck with this. Like you play all the Jeddits, you play all the Miris, you know. I mean, you can't play the black one, but you can play the green ones.
Play the green ones though.
The green ones cat still warriors, fine. Cat mercenaries. You could play a cat's deck cuz it is 3 colors.
Yeah.
You have access to green.
Yeah, and then you can also play like
we could play legendary tribals, make a bunch of tokens, and if anyone plays green, which a lot of people do for ramp, swing and block.
Play like is it Brimaz? Is that what his name is? It's the sick cat warrior that has the blocking ability and whatnot. Like he's awesome. Like you can go in a deck like that too. Yeah,
seems cool. It's only 3 for a 3/3. So.
Yeah, it's cheap. I love to building a deck around this would be fun. I think. This would be something that I would definitely be interested in.
The artwork is very cool.
Oh, for sure.
Next up, we got the Lady of Otaria. It's 3, a red and a green, for a 5/5 legendary creature avatar. You may tap 3 untapped dwarves you control rather than pay the spell's mana cost. At the beginning of each end step, if a land you controlled was put into a graveyard from the battlefield this turn, reveal the top 4 cards of your library. You may put any number of dwarf cards from among them into your hand, put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So now we have a green-red dwarf card instead of just the red mono-red dwarf card.
Right, so now you have access to green. Are you going to use it?
I don't know how many dwarves there are that are good.
I don't know. Most of them are red. Most of them are red.
Most dwarves are red. But yeah. Like the last one that was really good was the red one that Magda, which I play even not, but like you get a buffs mm-hmm. dwarves and you can tap dwarves.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and that's really sick in the tokens. Dwarf deck for sure.
So I don't know how many dwarves there are, but it'd be fun to try it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe just for the green, like, ramp or something, and green spells, perhaps?
Yeah, because then you get your buff spells, your heroic interventions, your ramp access. I mean, you could play the a lot of the shapeshifters in green that, like, buff the board.
Yeah, would work.
The changelings. I don't know, it's just fun.
This is interesting. Yeah.
You can obviously play seven of the seven dwarves, so.
Yeah.
So it's seven dwarves right there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, this could be very, very interesting.
Other than that, I don't think it's that good of a card. Like, it's only good with dwarves.
Yeah, I mean, if it's not in the tribal, it's no point in playing this. Like, you kind of need that backup for it. All right, let's see. Next up is Ohabi Kalaria. It is one green white for a 1/3 legendary elf archer creature with reach. Untap all archers you control during each other player's untap step. Whenever an archer you control deals damage to a creature, you may pay 2 if you do draw a card.
Okay, so this makes me want to make like elf archer tribal.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of archers. Most of the archers are probably also elves, so you can play elves as well. But, like, that's cool. Like, oh, I get to untap every other player's untap step, and some of them have, like, tap deal damage, and then you can pay 2 to draw cards. Yep. Like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, there's, like, the thorn ones, the thorn archers have, like, death touch and shit. And
There's the one that taps to ping flyers.
Yeah.
That's really good with this.
That's like, a combo with this. Yeah, This is going to be a fun deck.
Yeah, this would be a sweet deck, I think.
I would enjoy playing this 100%.
Next up, we got Ramses, Assassin Lord. 2 blue and a black for a 4/4 legendary creature, human assassin with death touch. Other assassins you control get +1/+1. Whenever a player loses the game, if they were attacked this turn by an assassin you control, you win the game.
My God.
So you only have to kill one player with an assassin, and then you win the game.
If you're really tired of the game you're playing, well, here you go.
Assassin tribal, baby.
That's amazing.
Just got to hit them once, and they die.
So who's going to build the assassin's deck?
You just got to kill one player, and then you win the game.
You just win the table. Awesome. That's awesome. I love this. That's hilarious. New hate card.
Yeah, right.
So obviously, in the right deck, this is very good and very dangerous. So, have fun with that.
Yeah, it seems like a good card. I mean, 4/4 death touch that buffs your players. That's great. Yeah. And if you happen to hit someone with this and then win the game immediately, like...
Even better, yeah. 4-cost, win the game. It seems good.
Well, the funny thing is, it just says when they lose the game, too. So, like, if you attack someone and then someone else kills them, you just win.
Exactly. That's pretty awesome. I love this. That's great. All right. We have Ra Rasputin, Oniromancer. 1 white blue for a 4/1 legendary human wizard creature. When Rasputin enters the battlefield, put a dream counter on it for each opponent you have. Each opponent creates a 1/1 red goblin creature token. Tap. Remove 1 or more dream counters from Rasputin. Add that much waste mana. It also has tap. Remove a dream counter from Rasputin. Create a 2/2 white knight creature token with protection from red.
It's not bad.
It's actually pretty good.
So you play it, you're going to get three dream counters that each of your opponents get a 1/1, and then you can get three mana or three 2/2s.
Yep. The only thing about it is it only has one health, so it's easy to kill. But
this is good in a flicker deck.
Yeah, oh, this is fantastic.
Or proliferate. Keep proliferating the dream counters.
Yep, yep, for sure. Yeah, fun. This seems like a fun card, for sure.
It's kind of weird. It's a 4/1.
Yeah, I don't know what that PT is all about, but
oh, well, the 1/1 could kill it then, but they give them. But like, okay. next up, we got Rogha, the Curkeep Overlord. 3BR for a 4/4 legendary creature, kobold warrior. Other kobolds you control get +2/+2. Ooh, more kobold stuff. Yeah. Whenever you cast a kobold spell, you may pay 2. If you do, create a 4/4 dragon creature token with flying. And whenever you cast a dragon spell, create a 0/1 red kobold of Curkeep token.
This is awesome.
Yeah, so this is like a kobold commander. Bust your kobolds. Play kobolds, you get dragons. Play dragons, you get kobolds.
Yeah.
So dragons and kobolds working together.
As they do in the lore. So it makes perfect sense. Yeah, this is a commander right here for a certain deck, I think. Yeah, or even in the 99 is good too. Like either way.
Yeah, 99 of a kobold or dragon deck. Dragon deck, you don't really need 0/1s, but well, I guess they won't really be 0/1s because of the +2/+2, they'll be 2/3s. So it's still pretty good.
Yeah, +2/+2, that's a really good global buff.
Yeah.
That's sick.
And then, like, your 0/1s are just, 2/3s.
Or 2/3s, yeah. It's just crazy. Yeah, that's awesome. Next up, we have Stang, Echo Warrior. It is 2RG for a 3/4 legendary human warrior creature. Whenever Stang Echo Warrior attacks, create Stang Twin, a legendary 3/4 red and green human warrior creature token. It enters the battlefield tapped and attacking. For each aura and equipment attached to Stang, create a token that's a copy of it attached to Stang Twin. Sacrifice all tokens created this way at the beginning of the next end step.
So this is really Voltron-y. You put a bunch of aura and equipment on this and swing, and you actually get a second one swinging.
So you put all the swords on, you put Batter Skull on, you put, whatever else you want. Yeah.
So this is red-green Voltron commander, basically.
Yep. Very good.
Seems good. You could kill two people then.
Yeah, literally.
Instead of one. Because usually with Voltron, you get one or two guys, and then they kill you.
Right.
They gang up on you. So this way you could swing at two people at a time.
Yep, yep. Cover your bases.
Mm-hmm. Next up, we got Saitri, Dragon Master.
Saitri, I think.
2BR for a legendary planeswalker named Saitri. Or Saitri. I can't tell if it's a Y or a V.
It's a V, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. And then it comes up with four loyalty counters. And until your next turn, creatures can't attack you or planeswalkers you control unless the controller pays 2 for each of those creatures. -3, search your library for a dragon card, reveal it and put it in your hand. -7, destroy all non-dragons, and it can be your commander.
All right, so a dragon commander.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd play blue-black dragons. There's not a ton. There's some. There's probably enough for a deck.
I would think so. I don't know.
But I feel this is better in the 99 of a...
like an all-color dragon deck.
It's like Ur-Dragon. Yeah, because, I mean, the plus, they have to pay 2 life to attack you for each creature is sweet.
That's right.
The minus to search for a dragon is sweet, and the -7 is like the blow-up-all non-dragon spell.
Which, that's so fine.
This is very good in just like an all-color dragons deck, I feel.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Ur-Dragon, Scion, anything like that. Definitely great. Nuko Bolas.
The artwork's cool too.
Yeah, no, she looks badass. For sure. Yeah, that will be in Dragon Decks 100% because that is very good. Next up, we have Tetsuo, Imperial Champion. It is blue, black, red for a 3/3 legendary creature, Human Samurai. Whenever a Tetsuo Imperial Champion attacks, if it's equipped, choose one. Tetsuo deals damage equal to the highest mana value among equipment attached to it to any target, or you may cast an instant or sorcery spell from your hand with mana value less than or equal to the highest mana value among equipment attached to Tetsuo without paying its mana cost.
So you're probably going to play really expensive equipment in this deck. Or you could play like swords and make everything cost 3 or less.
Like, yeah, or like Batter Skull, that's 5.
So yeah, this is going to be an equipment deck. The not having access to white is a little bit weird because you don't have like...
Yes, it can be Batter Skull because that's what... Batter Skull
is... Batter Skull you can play, but you can't play like the search for a creature, Stoneforge, Mystic.
Because that's usually why it's...
You can't play the Pure Steel Paladin that makes it equipped for 0. You get access to a bunch of burn spells and counter spells,
which is good. That's why I was like, "Why I can't play Batter Skull that in white?" Yeah, because I'm so used to playing it with like Stormforge or something. Mm-hmm. It's usually in a white deck. But yeah, there's definitely other equipments that you can.
It's interesting because you're making an equipment deck that's not like normally you have red and white.
Yeah.
So now you don't have white. It's
interesting. That makes it tough for sure.
It's a cool samurai.
Yeah, sick.
Next up, we got Torsten, founder of Benalia. 5 green white for a 7/7 legendary creature, human soldier. When Torsten enters the battlefield, reveal the top 7 cards of your library. Put any number of creature or land cards from among them into your hand and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. When Torsten dies, create 7 1/1 soldier creature tokens.
Oh, damn.
This is bonkers, right?
That's really good.
7 for a 7/7 draws you 7. Like, there's like only like a small chance you don't hit. Like, it's just your non-creatures and lands, right?
Not going
in your hand. When it dies, you get a rebate of 7 1/1s. Like, this seems good for your token deck.
Very sticky. Yeah, this is perfect for my deck, for sure. This is awesome. Any number of creature and or land cards. Oh, it's into the hand. Okay, yeah, that's just so great.
Gosh forbid you flicker it and get to keep doing that.
Oh, God, yeah. ETB Matters deck?
So you're probably going to draw, like, if you think, like, probably 30% of your deck is non-creatures, right?
Or in land. Risk, yes. A lot of it is. Yeah.
So, like, so 30%, so what is 30% of 7? So, like, you're probably going to get, like, 5, 6, like, 5, 4 or 5 cards every time, probably?
Easily. Yeah, no, this is good. And it's very sticky, which is also very good. Yeah, it's not... It dies, but then you still have to deal with 7 power and toughness. Just split up. So, yeah, that's very good.
Very good card. I don't know if I play as a commander because it costs 7, but...
That'd be pretty rough.
So I'm probably playing it in the 99.
Definitely a 99 deck, or 99 card, 100%. next, we have Zira, the Golden Sting. It is 1 black, red, green for a 3/3 legendary insect assassin creature. It has flying and haste. Whenever Zira, the Golden Sting, attacks, put an egg counter on another target creature without an egg counter on it. When that creature dies, if it has an egg counter on it, draw a card and create a 1/1 black insect creature token with flying.
So she's kind of like the queen bee.
Yep.
You keep saying, hey, that's my next target, my next hit. And then when you kill it, you hatch an egg, get a card, and insect flying.
Yeah, it's pretty nice, actually.
Sounds pretty fun. It's Jund.
Yeah. Jund. This is very Jund-y.
Haste is nice.
Yep. Haste flying. Decent keywords. Decent cost. And yeah, pretty, very doable ability, especially if you build a deck around it well enough. You can definitely get some value.
And our last card is Orca, Siege Demon. 5 black, red for a 5/5 legendary creature demon with trample. whenever another creature dies, put a 1/1 counter on Orca Siege Demon. Whenever Orca dies, it deals damage equal to its power, divided as you choose among any number of targets.
Nice.
It's pretty good. I mean, you're going to play Aristocrats with this again, right?
Yeah, totally.
You just get to buff it a bunch and then sack it off to kill something.
You sack it and then you wipe the board.
Or kill a dude, like one-shot a guy or something.
Yeah. Yeah, or yeah, or you literally just can kill somebody.
Yeah.
For sure.
Plus, it's a 5/5 of trample.
Yeah. Yeah, cost is a little high, but I feel like that's easy to mitigate, though. So if you make it big enough, it doesn't matter. So, and that is it for the set, I believe.
So what card that we looked at you think is the best?
That's the best? Oh, man. Where was that? So that Selesnya card is very sick that we just recently looked at. Was that one? Not that one. Oh yeah, the Torsten. Torsten's very, very good. That Dragon Speaker Planeswalker is very, very, or Dragon Master Planeswalker is very,
yeah,
good.
Yeah, that's one of my faves.
That's definitely up there. The Kobold's pretty sick.
Yeah, that Kobold is pretty cool.
Like there's some really nice tribal stuff in this set, which is very fun to see, 100%. Yeah, I can't wait to see what we're able to build with it and what decks we see coming out of this, because there's definitely going to be a lot of possibilities now, which is pretty awesome.
Well, thanks y'all for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks a lot. Have a good night.